It's good to see everyone out once again on this cold Sunday evening. Tonight I encourage you to open up your Bibles with me, and I kind of want to discuss a topic that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And that's the idea of entitlement. You see, the definition of entitlement is the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or of special treatment. It's the idea of people owe me. And I start thinking about this idea, and really if you stop and even look around, it's something that we see more and more prevalent every single day. At school, I think of the students that are telling the teachers how they should run their classrooms. I think of the parents who tell us who should be in a certain classroom and who should not be in a certain classroom and who teacher they get because they feel entitled. Just this weekend, we went to a restaurant, and lo and behold, with waiting on food, we see a worker arguing with the manager because he didn't like the idea of where his cup was going to go because he was entitled to his drink. And it didn't matter that it was a violation of health code. Entitlement. Unfortunately, the stories just get sillier. In the height of the pandemic, there is a California restaurant served coffee. And as most places that serve food, there was a mask requirement. Well, this lady comes in and decides she wanted a coffee, but she didn't want to go by the rules. And the little young lady was just kind of saying, "Ma'am, I can't serve you unless you put on your mask." And that customer ends up taking a picture and just shredding her on, of course, social media. Well, here's the entitlement area. See, people, that actually got some traction through our country. And there was a GoFundMe page for a tip for this young girl who got ripped up so hard. And it ended up getting almost $100,000 for a tip because of the people. And guess who comes back? "I'm entitled to half of that money because of the pain and sorrow you put me through, and I want an apology." The idea of entitlement is rampant in our country. I think of one more example. This one in, well, Bedford, where I was at. And I was talking to the chief of the fire department. And he was telling me how he received a phone call from a mother of a firefighter because he didn't like the color of the socks that were actually part of the uniform. A mother calling the chief of the fire department because she felt like her baby boy was entitled to wear whatever color sock he wanted. You see, all of this is ridiculous and silly, we think, but it's what is happening in our society. And we have to be aware of this to fight it, because this idea of entitlement is not one that a Christian should have. But see, we have to be careful. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, tells us we are God's special people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And if we're not aware and if we're not careful, then an idea of entitlement could come onto us as well. So what I'd like us to do tonight is look at Scripture and look at this idea of entitlement, because it is one that we will have to fight against. You know, this idea of entitlement is not a new thing. Let's turn back to the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. All the way back to the book of Exodus, we see an idea and an attitude of entitlement. Exodus chapter 16. And I'd like to start in verse 1. Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 1, says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day, on the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us in this whole assembly with hunger." Now the Israelites here feel that they're entitled to this food. And they start complaining even though God brought them out of Egypt. He took them through the Red Sea and still they complained. Because they felt they were entitled to more. Well, we read on in chapter 16 and we see what God does. God sends manna. This bread of heaven. In fact, later on in scripture, it's described as tasting like wafers made of honey. I don't know about you, but I have a sweet tooth. Wafers made of honey sounds pretty good. See, the problem with entitlement is it doesn't stop. You don't get something and it's like, oh, I'm done. It continues on. That attitude of entitlement just continues on and it doesn't go away. In fact, we can turn just a few chapters in book over to the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 4. It reads and it says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded into intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" God gives them manna from heaven where they don't have to do anything with. And they complain because they want more. They had that idea, that attitude of entitlement. I deserve more. And interestingly enough, in this scripture, in verse 5, "We remember the fish which we ate freely." It kind of makes me giggle. They weren't free in Egypt, were they? They were slaves. They had bricks to make. They had so many hard things being piled on them. And they look back and said, "Oh, we were eating fish freely." Again, it's that attitude of entitlement. You see, the Egyptians weren't the only ones that had the slaves around. I mean, the Israelites had to do basically everything they said. But once they got away from that, the attitude starts coming up. And really, Israelites aren't the only time that we have this idea of entitlement. Consider in 1 Samuel, the sons of Eli. Let's turn to 1 Samuel, the second chapter. And I'm sure we all remember who Eli is. He's prophet of the Lord. And he had two sons. And in chapter 2 of verse 12, it's written and it's noted that the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. But they were also priests. Let that sink in for a minute. You have an individual that is a priest of the Lord that scripture says did not know the Lord. So where does the entitlement come in? Well, I'm sure you can imagine. Guess who my father is? Right? In fact, if we turn to verse 22 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Verse 22 in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all of Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. You can imagine the situation where Eli is trying to bring up his sons right, and they choose to go a different direction. You know, we're priests. We get to do what we want. My dad's Eli. We're entitled to these things. In fact, in Scripture, you can read further in how they didn't use the sacrifices correctly. See, we have to be careful about that attitude as well. You know, like we mentioned, 1 Peter, the second chapter, we are God's special people. We have to make sure that our attitude shows it, and that we don't slip into that guilty attitude of, well, I'm entitled to this because I'm a Christian. Because that can happen if we're not careful. You know, thinking of some of those examples, I'll give you one more. About the same time as that one in California, there's a person that started marking down reviews of a certain restaurant because the person didn't give them water while they were waiting for their food. Okay, well, that sounds maybe okay. They were in the drive-thru, and they wanted somebody to come out and give them a cup of water while they were waiting in their car for the drive-thru to go get their food. The attitude of entitlement is something we must be careful of. We can be just as bad. You hear the sayings, the customer is always right. But as a Christian, or do we need to check our attitudes and make sure that we are living in a way that Christ would have us live, which is not in an entitled way? In fact, if you really stop and think about it, there's two attitudes we're told to have that are the exact opposite of entitlement. One was found in our reading. What did our reading say? That we must live with contentment. You see, that's what we need to have. We need to be content in what we have. We need to be content in what God has given us. We need to be content in our lives. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and he talks about this idea of contentment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, Paul writes and he says, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You know, Paul's telling Timothy not just to be content, but to pursue godly things. You see, again, that is the opposite of entitlement. Entitlement tells you, I deserve these things because I'm who I'm at. I'm special. Contentment says, I'm thankful for what I have, and I bless God for giving it to me. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, puts it this way. It says, "But let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." For God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you stop and think about that, you can almost take a big breath, can't you? Let some things roll off your shoulders. Because if we are content with what God gives us and we trust in the Lord, we know that He will not leave us, He will never forsake us, and He is there for us. That's a change of an entitled attitude, though, isn't it? Entitled attitude says, what's next? What do I get next? What do I need? What do I? Lots of I's. Contentment is a way to be thankful to our God. But there's another attitude that we have to fight that entitlement too. That's humility. Because while entitlement is that I, humility is the others, isn't it? You know, we're getting ready to go into Black Friday, Christmas, all those shops. And we all know if you go out for anything, it gets a little crazy. Have you ever stopped and looked and thought or just watched how people act during that time? You have some that will bowl others down, grab things out of people's hands, and then you have some that step back and say, oh, go ahead. Oh, let me get the door for you. Merry Christmas. I mean, it's that attitude. The attitude of humility tells us that we need to watch out for others. We need to do the right thing. We need to consider others before ourselves. James, the 4th chapter, verse 6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, if we want God's grace, we need to make sure our attitude is one of humility, one of contentment, one that pursues righteousness rather than pursuing our own things. Let's turn over to the book of Luke and see what Jesus says. Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke chapter 14, I'd like to start in verse 7. It says, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him who came will say, give this place to the man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit at the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, Jesus is telling us we need to have that humble attitude. We need to put others in front of us. An entitled attitude just doesn't understand that, because they're so worried about me. They're so worried about what people around them are going to be thinking rather than what our God is thinking. You see, our Lord knows our hearts and He knows our attitudes. What does He see in us? See, this idea of entitlement, it can entangle us. It can bleed into us if we're not careful. And we do have to recognize it in ourselves. Think of all the commercials you see. Have it your way. Burger King. You deserve a break. Our country, our society, our area is filled with things that push that idea of you're entitled to this. Credit cards. You're entitled to buy that big screen TV today and you can pay for it later. But godliness with contentment is great gain. See, we read that we're not going to take anything out of this world. What legacy will we be leaving? Will it be a legacy of that person loved the Lord? Or will it be a legacy of, boy, they had a lot of stuff? Because if it's the legacy of, boy, they had a lot of stuff, we had the wrong attitude, didn't we? You see, we can turn back to the book of Proverbs. And really, I love the book of Proverbs. It has so many wise sayings. And it has so much depth in it. And in Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. It says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief." What we want isn't always what we need. Let me say that again. What we want isn't always what we need. Physically, I think of my diet. What I want, see, I've got some gummy bears, I've got some dark chocolate, I've got some Twizzlers. That's not what I need. My gut will tell me that. My doctor will tell me that. Spiritually, it's the same thing. What we need is God. What we need is to realize that our Lord sent His Son to die for us, to take out our sins so that we can be pure in His sight. I heard it one time, many times, from one of our friends that preaches. We're just a bunch of sinners trying to get home. That's all we are. And I'm afraid if we start feeling that idea of entitlement, we're no longer sinners. We're the righteous. And we're not. You see, we have to, like Paul says in Colossians, set our mind on things above and not on things on this earth. We must do so with contentment, with pursuing righteousness, with humility. And then we have God's grace. Because we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it by ourselves. And there's not a thing we can do to be entitled to heaven. You know, the other thing that we need to have is appreciation. And sometimes we're on short supply of that. When's the last time we bowed down our heads to our Lord and we just said thank you? Or we just blessed Him, told Him how great He is for us? I know I'm guilty of that too. That sometimes my prayers have a little bit more of the, please help me with this, please help me with that, please help me. And there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But are we taking the time to bless our Lord and to thank Him for everything we've given? See, that's the attitude of appreciation that fights against the attitude of entitlement. In fact, we can turn back to the book of Psalms. And we know in the book of Psalms, David has a number of psalms that he writes. And consider all the things David went through. He had riches. He had trouble. He had sons and daughters. He had people going after him. He had Saul wanting to kill him. And in Psalms, the 9th chapter, Psalms chapter 9, starting in verse 1. He writes, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." He appreciated the things God gave him. At least in this. Now, did David make mistakes? Absolutely. Do we? Absolutely. See, we have to understand that we have so much to be thankful for today because God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And we can have remission, forgiveness of our sins, so that they are completely wiped out. You know, I thinking of this idea of entitlement, I think of children. Children have a huge attitude of entitlement, don't they? I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm entitled to it. Well, I want this. I want that. I want a new toy. I want this. As parents, what do? We give them what they need because we love them. What does God do for us? God gives us what we need because He loves us. It's the same relationship. That's why we call Him our Father in heaven. Because He has adopted us as sons and daughters if we follow His word. You know, as we start to take this lesson to a close, and we really stop and think about what are we entitled to, I think of Romans, the third chapter, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then just three chapters later in chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. So if you really want to talk about entitlement, what we are entitled to is death. What we are entitled to is a spot in torment because our death separated us from God. That is entitlement. God's love, God's grace and His mercy bridges that entitlement gap so that we can have a home in heaven if we follow His command. You see, let's look at one last scripture tonight, found in 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, let's go to chapter 3, if you will, starting in verse 1. John writes and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We can purify ourselves as well through the watery grave of baptism. Have you heard what the Word of God says? If you have, do you believe that it's true? See, that's the first two steps. You have to hear it. You have to believe it. Are you willing to repent of your sins, the past things that you have done that have been against God? Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to be baptized? Maybe you've done those things and that attitude of entitlement or something else has tarnished you. Again, we think back to that idea of God is our Father who loves us and will give us what we need, which is also forgiveness. So if there's any way that we can help you tonight, make those wishes known as we stand to sing the song of invitation. Have you been?